This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, November 8th, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. When citizen activist Ron Calzone approached lawmakers in his home state of Missouri to share his perspective and air redressable grievances, the state told him to register as a lobbyist. But Ron Calzone doesn't get paid by anyone to do this activism, so the Institute for Free Speech took up his case. This week, the Eighth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals agreed with Ron. Zach Morgan, an attorney at the Institute for Free Speech, details the case.
You can't make this name up. Tell me about Ron Calzone.
Ron Calzone is an incredible citizen activist in Missouri. Ron is one of the most passionate, most engaged people I've ever had the privilege of knowing. Ron, of his own volition, on his own dime, nobody directs him to, nobody tells him to. He doesn't use financial power to manipulate the system, but he goes to Jefferson City. He testifies on legislative committees on legislation. He speaks one-on-one with legislators. He's the only person I know who has won a pro se lawsuit against a state government, arguing the state government violated their own constitution and how they promulgated legislation. And in the course of all of this volunteer activity that Ron did in Missouri, he made a few enemies, which is one of the reasons why I'm here today.
So a three-judge panel of the Eighth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals said, this guy is a lobbyist.
Yeah.
Back in November.
That's correct. Yeah. And this has been a long-running thing in Missouri. This started in 2014 in November because Ron's activism upset a number of figures in Jefferson City who I guess you could call the Republican establishment to the extent that exists there. And they secretly went to this entity called the Missouri Society of Governmental Consultants, which is the lobbyist guild for professional lobbyists. It's the professional organization for professional lobbyists, and had them file a complaint with Missouri's Ethics Commission, essentially accusing Ron of unregistered civic activism. He's really a professional lobbyist, and you should punish him for that. And the commission, through a process, which even for an administrative agency, the Missouri Ethics Commission is where due process goes to die, ended up fining him $1,000, forced him to register, and my organization, the Institute for Free Speech, with Dave Rowland of the Freedom Center in Missouri, we represented Ron in a federal lawsuit, saying, you know, this is what the 14th Amendment is for. You can't condition constitutional rights on the procurement of a license to speak to members of your legislature.
So it's sort of a weird thing. He's not being paid by anyone, as you noted. He doesn't have a bank account to speak of that he would use to bankroll these activities. He doesn't receive money from an interest group in order to do this. He seems to be someone who is what you would want out of an engaged citizenry, somebody who just has an interest. He follows these things. He's, engaged and apparently pretty smart if he's winning lawsuits. Why did the state decide to do this?
That's a good question. I think the Ethics Commission in Missouri, which is sort of where this all kickstarted, we came in and argued that the statute didn't cover Ron because the way the statute's written, lobbyists are paid. And the Ethics Commission, in my opinion, contorted the statute possibly in a – I don't want to say it was a results-oriented way. I want to attribute some good faith to them. But the state stood by that interpretation all the way. And they argued in federal court – this is the district court, it was quoted – by the district court judge who actually initially ruled against Ron, which is why we ended up in the Court of Appeals, as you noted, that the democratic structure of government in Missouri would not exist unless the government had the ability to let people know, everybody who is operating in the political arena, that there's a generalized transparency interest in any time somebody, even if they're uncompensated, unpaid, goes in front of the legislature and speaks their mind if they do it in affiliation with anybody else.
So that seems like if you're going to make that case, it seems like that would be an argument for saying, hey, if you're a state lawmaker or the staff of a state lawmaker, you have to make public the list of the people you meet with. That seems to be something that would call for an imposition on government to be transparent and not necessarily compel individuals to register. Is that fair?
Absolutely fair. I mean, essentially what Rahm was accused of was unlawful civic activism, which is an actual crime in other countries that don't have the protection of the First Amendment. That he didn't go through the proper process. He didn't register, and he didn't get the government license. And this is one of the things that was so heartening about the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals sitting fully en banc. The opinion does something that I think is noteworthy in the First Amendment disclosure space, because so often when we talk about publicity of a political activity, we talk about the harm to First Amendment privacy, that people are knowing things that otherwise the government has no business knowing. But one thing is that, and that's all true here as well, Ron's address becomes a matter of public record if he has to file the lobbying reports. But the court leads off by saying the burden is also the paperwork. So often courts just sort of say, oh, well, the registration requirements, you put that aside, it's not burdensome. In the district court judge said, this says we'll take the guy 10 minutes to do. And the Eighth Circuit said, yeah, it's a monthly report. It's filed under penalty of perjury. And that's a burden. And he has to pay a fee to the state in order to receive this license. Yeah, it's $10. But that's a burden. You can't condition First Amendment rights like that. Over at IFS, we're kind of like Max Lewis, played by John Lovitz on News Radio. We're sticklers for constitutional rights, and so is Ron. And we're glad this has arrived at the conclusion, or at least the current state of affairs, that it has.
So do you expect an appeal now that the en banc, the full Eighth Circuit, has said, no, this guy doesn't have to register as a lobbyist. He's a citizen activist, as you said. What do you expect Missouri's response to be, and how recently has the Supreme Court dealt with a case that's anything like this?
I think it's actually safe to say the court probably hasn't dealt with a case like this ever. The last time the court weighed in on lobbying was in 1954 in United States versus Harris, where the court said the government's interest in lobbying and is restricted to, quote, who is doing the hiring, who is putting up the money, and how much, end quote, which... And we argued this all the way through, that Harris puts a barrier around what the government can do in regulating petition. So to the extent that Harris would want to be expanded, that is something only the Supreme Court can do. As to whether or not Missouri will elect to seek certiorari, to seek the writ from the Supreme Court, I don't know. This case has been going on so long that we're on our third attorney general who's had to be named as the who's had to represent the defendants in this case, and I just don't know what's in their head right now.
For those who don't follow a lot of federal court movements, what does this case actually mean substantially? Presumably, only the Eighth Circuit is affected by this ruling. Do states that are the other states in the Eighth Circuit, do they have similar laws that they'll not need to look at?
I can't speak to all the state laws. I mean, again, but yes, this applies to the Eighth Circuit, which, Missouri, Arkansas, and so forth. And what this means practically is actually kind of, it's kind of a big deal. It's one of those things that, you don't think you have to win in court. Like the idea, whenever I talk about this case with people and I say, well, they say he's a lobbyist, everybody assumes that a lobbyist is a well-heeled guy who's getting paid $150,000 from R.J. Reynolds to go talk about, whatever R.J. Reynolds wants to get from Congress. But we've now put a marker, at least in the Eighth Circuit, and hopefully, to use a bad metaphor, hopefully this can be sort of a contagion and infect jurisprudence in other parts of the country, that the government has to have there has to be a nexus of money involved before the government gets to regulate political activity, at least in the sense of lobbying. And while I can't speak for other states within the Eighth Circuit, although this opinion would be binding on them, there are other jurisdictions in the country, Chicago particularly comes to mind, that do regulate unpaid, uncompensated lobbyists who don't spend any money on their activity. And hopefully this case can encourage those governments to rethink their current regulatory system.
Zach Morgan is an attorney at the Institute for Free Speech. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please, and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.